let's talk for a moment about the format of our feedback conversations. And I want to address what I see as almost a universal belief among instructional leaders that feedback needs to be delivered in kind of a sandwich format, right? If you think about a barbecue sandwich, you've got the meat in the middle and you've got a bun on either side of that meat. And we like to package our feedback in kind of a similar manner, don't we? We have a compliment to open the conversation and to kind of start on a positive note. And then we have the meat of the conversation. We have the suggestion for improvement or the kind of constructive criticism in the middle. And then we want to end on a positive note again, so we have another compliment. Have you experienced the feedback sandwich? Have you given someone a feedback sandwich? I'm going to guess that the answer to both of those questions is yes, because the feedback sandwich is everywhere. And I believe that that's unfortunate, because I think it's actually an unhelpful format that causes us a number of problems if it's our goal to actually change teacher practice and not just go through a process, right? If our goal was to just go through a process and give everybody a compliment, a suggestion, and another compliment, well, then this would be fine. But if our goal is actually to change teacher practice, we run into some problems with the feedback sandwich. First, I want to say there's nothing wrong with giving people compliments and praising what they're doing well and recognizing what they're doing well. There's nothing wrong with the intention of starting on a positive note and ending on a positive note and recognizing some of the bright spots or what you might call the wows of an observation. But we run into trouble if we give our compliments and praise in a confusing or misleading or inauthentic way, right? And there are a number of ways that this can go wrong, especially when everyone involved kind of knows that this format is what it is. They know to expect a compliment, a suggestion, and another compliment. And it starts to feel kind of insincere, right? It starts to feel kind of patronizing. If you know the first compliment is really just to butter you up, then you're probably not going to see it as especially sincere compared to something that is not fit within that pre-existing format. If you just kind of make an offhand remark, hey, that was really great how you did this, or how you opened the lesson, or that was really great when you stopped by that student's desk and just really got them going. You know, if you make an offhanded remark that is a compliment, it comes across a lot more sincerely than if it's part of just kind of a pre-packaged format. And people can really start to see those as inauthentic if we're not careful. It also can be difficult to make sure that our feedback is relevant, right? That it's actually focused on something that the teacher actually cared about. So I want to encourage you to not worry too much about the format and really just strive to have an authentic conversation, regardless of whether you have packaged all of your suggestions for improvement between compliments. And I actually want to discourage you from using that format because it creates a number of specific problems, as we will see now. The first problem is the somewhat confusing ratio of compliments to suggestions. Whenever we have a fixed ratio like this, you know, people come to expect, all right, I'm going to get two compliments and one suggestion for improvement, one takeaway in this feedback conversation. When it's expected, that ratio of 2 to 1, we start to lose track of whether it's really authentic and whether we really need to take each of those elements seriously, or whether they were designed just to kind of fill a slot, whether that slot is on a feedback form or just in kind of our mental expectation that we have two compliments and one suggestion. And by itself, what does that ratio even mean? Does it mean that the lesson was 2/3 good and 1/3 of it needed improvement? How seriously should the teacher take that suggestion? If the compliments are really glowing, if our praise is effusive and the suggestion is minor, how seriously should teachers take that? This is confusing. And I've noticed that it's confusing when I'll give a suggestion for improvement that's very minor, and then I'll come back later and I'll see that the teacher took it very, very seriously, far more seriously than I intended, and spent a lot of time on something that is not all that central to their improvement, not all that important to their practice. Okay, so this gets confusing right off the bat, and over the long term, we can end up with an even worse problem, the problem of apparently documenting excellent performance when that might not have always been the case. See, here's the thing. If you give everyone two compliments and a suggestion, there's a certain kind of fixed ratio that's implied there. Again, that they're maybe doing kind of two-thirds of a great job, even if we don't say so explicitly. If a teacher has a performance issue in the future, you know, they become unsatisfactory, they, you know, really stop doing a good job, and that needs to be documented, and the evaluation needs to reflect that. If that teacher can then pull out years and years of feedback from administrators that says, good job with this, good job at that, and then a suggestion in the middle, especially if they have implemented the suggestion, they're going to be able to show that the current administrator is breaking with a longstanding pattern. And if you've ever been in that situation where you're dealing with a teacher who really is struggling, who really is not doing well, and had them pull out maybe your own words or the words of your predecessor to use against you, to weaken your case and say, no, actually, I'm doing a great job. See all these compliments I've been getting for years and years? And you think, shoot, I didn't mean those compliments as evidence that there were no problems in your practice, right? There really can be some unintended consequences of this feedback sandwich ratio that we create. So I want to suggest that we let go of that predictable sandwich format and instead just have an authentic conversation. Let the evidence guide that conversation and don't try to produce exactly two compliments per suggestion for improvement. And one way you can know if you're doing the right thing as a human being working with other human beings is to ask yourself, is this something that I would do outside of work? Because sometimes we invent bad ideas that are specific to the workplace. We think, okay, well, I'm the boss here. I'm the principal. I'm the assistant principal. I'm the instructional leader, and I'm supposed to give people feedback, including compliments and suggestions. And we end up doing that in ways that would seem very strange in any other context. And in fact, they're strange in the context that we're working in. We just don't realize it because we've kind of set up this expectation that it has to be this way. So ask yourself, would you use the feedback sandwich on someone in your personal life? Would you use it on your spouse? Or how would you feel if your spouse used it on you? And to think of a personal example, I'm responsible for loading the dishwasher in our house. I do all the dishes, and I think I do it just fine. I don't have any particular goals for improvement. I think I'm just doing great. It's not really something I'm worried about. And that's true for a lot of areas of practice for any given teacher, right? There are a lot of things that they think they're just fine on. It's not their focus. But how would I feel one day if my wife came up and said to me, Justin, you really do a great job of loading the forks in the dishwasher. The forks just always get clean. They never clank together and make an unpleasant noise. They just always come out sparkling clean. So I just want to compliment you on the great job you do loading the forks in the dishwasher. One thing that I've been concerned about lately is just that the bowls aren't really getting clean. I don't know if they're stacked on top of each other or they're too close together, but what do you think about spreading the bowls out more so that they get more clean? Would that be something that you would want to try? Okay. Well, and Justin, last but not least, I just want to mention, I really think you're doing a great job loading the spoons in the dishwasher. You know, they're kind of like the bowls where they can nest together too closely, but you really do a good job of spacing them out. So thanks for coming in today. I'm really glad we had a chance to talk. Now, if my wife had a conversation like that with me, I would think, okay, what is going on here? Is there a hidden camera? Am I being pranked? Is this going to be on TV? This is weird, right? It would feel weird if someone in your personal life used that artificial feedback sandwich format on you, right? It would be much more authentic if the person would have a conversation, be nice, you know, be pleasant, you know, get into that conversation a bit. They could still give that praise and still talk about those areas for improvement, but without that artificial structure. And especially if your spouse or someone else in your personal life started to use that artificial structure every single time, it would start to feel really strange, wouldn't it? So I want to challenge you to let go of that artificial feedback sandwich structure and allow your conversations to be more authentic. So grab your journal real quick here and let's reflect on this a bit. First, think about a time when you received feedback that felt inauthentic. Maybe it was like my dishwasher feedback story that I just made up. What made it feel that way? Think back on your own experience. When have you received feedback that felt inauthentic? And then second, think about a time that you received feedback that really did feel authentic, or maybe someone told you something that was hard to hear, but that you needed to hear, and they didn't do it in an inauthentic or strange feeling way. They did it in a way that really got through to you. what made it authentic? What made that feedback conversation get through to you? Think about some examples from your own life, whether at work or in your personal life, and when you've done that, you're ready to move on to the next section.